Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Harvest Church at Home. So glad that we can connect today again. This is our 28th Sunday online, and I'm so glad that you could join us. Hey, I wanted to just say right up front, keep all of our firefighters and first responders in your prayers. We've got around 28 to 30 fires going on all over California. It's been in the news every day. We've got smoke and ash in the air, although it's cleared up a little bit now, but we've had a high particulate level and all of that. But all that to say, there's been so much fire and so much smoke that actually the smoke's been carried by the winds all the way to the East Coast. That's a lot of smoke and ash. But more than that, all of the lives that are being affected, the property that's being lost, all of those that are hurt, there's been a lot of churches that have been burned down, a lot of people that have lost their homes. I'm so glad right now that our level of loss as far as lives has been low. Let's just continue to pray that God will give favor to our firefighters, our policemen, all of our first responders. Man, y'all are just doing a great job. We hold you up in our prayers. Father in heaven, we just pray right now for all of those that are fighting the fires here in California, that you'd be with them in a special way, strengthen them and give them favor. And Lord, we pray that this fire season will soon be over. And we just pray, Lord God, we pray that solutions will come up too about how to better control atmosphere that we find ourselves in year after year. So Lord, we just pray again for safety and for favor for all of our firefighters and first responders, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, again, I'm so glad we can connect today. And speaking of connecting, on the first Sunday of October, October 4th, our life groups are going to be hosting life group parties in our life group network. So you'll be able to hear more about that in the next couple of weeks, but and you'll be able to check it out online. But I just want you to know, get ready to connect, not just virtually online, but connect in person at a life group. And then it won't be too much longer, I don't believe, till we get back on campus as well. At least we have good trends going our ways right now with the numbers and people being affected with COVID and so forth. We're trending in the right direction. I hope that we have good news for you within the next few weeks, just good news as to, you know, when we'll be able to get back on campus and resume ministry here. We'll be doing it both ways, on campus and online, but just stay tuned for that and just keep on praying that God's perfect will be done. Our number one priority, which has been from the beginning, is safety, your safety. I'm just as tired of not being in church as you are, and I want to get back with God's people, but I want to do it in the most safe environment that we can. And the minute we start to trifle with this pandemic, it can reach back and just kind of bite you. We don't want that to happen. We don't want anyone to be hurt or harmed. We want to be as safe as possible, but yet we want to also be able to meet by faith and experience the blessing of the Lord, in person as well. So pray that that happens sooner than later, okay? God bless you. I want to also thank you, everyone, for just your faithfulness in giving week after week and month after month. Hey, it's been month after month and week after week, and you've been so faithful. I just thank God. I pray for you every day, and I say, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless your people so that they can be a blessing. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless Harvest Church. Lord God, thank you for watching over this household of faith, but Lord, thank you for also watching over our households of faith as well. So I'm talking about the household of faith that we call Harvest Church. Thank you for watching over that, but also thank you for watching over our own households as well. The Bible says, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God always outruns you in your giving. You know, when you give, God says, I'm going to give you back so that you can be enriched and be generous on every occasion. So as we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, God says this, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you, you and your family. And he says this too, I'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So I want to just thank you for your consistency in giving. And I pray that God will continue to bless you and make you a blessing. So God bless you. Today, we're going to continue our series, A Letter from James to You. What can I say about James? The book of James is one of the first books ever written in the New Testament. It's one of the oldest books in the New Testament. Not many people know that. They would have guessed Matthew or Mark or Luke, one of the other Gospels, but it's actually the book of James. And James was the half-brother of Jesus. James was also the head of the Jerusalem church. You know, you're talking about Israel, Jerusalem being the that most glorious city in Israel. And James was the head of the church over there 2,000 years ago. And when he writes to the church, this is what this letter to James is, to the church in Jerusalem. He's writing to us today as well. And there's so many great takeaways that we're getting week after week. So James is considered one of the most practical how-to books in the New Testament. That's why we call this this series that we're in, A Letter from James to You, the how-tos of becoming a better person and living a better life. So when I'm looking in the book of James, I'm really looking at the epistle of James, and an epistle is a letter. And so we have a letter from James to you, all right? Now, I want to talk today about how to be wise with your wealth and what James has to say about your money and how to be wise with your money. So when we read this scripture, and it's going to be in James chapter 5, the tenor or the tone that James writes with this week is rather harsh and rather scathing. Honestly, he just comes out of the gates, but he's pretty serious and he's a little bit upset. He's upset that the rich people of his day are misusing and abusing the poor people of the day. In other words, they're heaping up their riches for themselves, but they're not helping others. And so they become rich from those that are working under them, but they don't share their wealth with those that are poor. So there wasn't much of a middle class. It was just the poor, poor, and the rich, rich. And there wasn't much of a middle class in between. And James says, we've got to get this right. We've got to correct this because it isn't right. You are hoarding your wealth instead of sharing it with others and helping others. So I want to talk about two things today. First of all, I want to talk about your attitude towards wealth. In other words, our attitude needs to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. And then the second thing is I want to talk about your actions with your wealth. So we're talking about your attitude towards wealth and then your actions with the wealth that God has given us. And by the way, here in America, God has blessed us all in some kind of a way that we can be a blessing to others. So let's look at James chapter 5 right now, verses 1 through 6, just six verses that we'll unpack. And first of all, James gives us some warnings against the misuse of wealth, all right? So he's talking to the wealthy now. He's talking to the rich, and he's saying, here's what I want you to see. You're getting this wrong. He gives them some warnings, and he does it with kind of a harsh tone, you'll notice. First of all, he says, with your money, don't hoard it. Don't hoard it. So don't just heap it up to yourself. Now, listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and the moths have eaten your clothes. In other words, remember the scripture that talks about Jesus says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where the moth and the rust cannot corrupt and where the thieves cannot break through and steal. But here the wealthy were laying up for themselves treasures here on earth, and they were heaping and hoarding the wealth. It was just the wrong attitude towards money. And so they weren't sharing it with others. Then he goes on in verse 3 and he says, your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. In other words, James was saying, instead of you being blessed by your wealth, you're going to be cursed by your wealth because of the way that you're handling it. In other words, your corrosion, it's going to testify against you. You'd think that wealth was always a blessing, but in this case, the wealth was going to turn out to be a curse to the rich because they were not sharing their wealth with others. So he says, number one, don't hoard it. The second thing he says is this, don't steal it. He says, look, the wages you failed to pay the workers of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Now, I want you to see this. The wages that you failed to pay to the workers of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Now, you've heard the expression, money talks. And here, the misuse of money was talking right to God. So you have these wealthy business people, these wealthy employers, and they weren't paying their workers. And he says, now the wages are speaking to God's ears and said, you failed to pay those workers. It'd be like here in California, field workers who were not getting their due. And it would be, they're working just as hard as anybody to get food to your table. And yet you could have a rich farmer not sharing the wealth with them, but taking all the wealth for himself and paying them the lowest the lowest wage that it could possibly. In fact, that had been done for years and it's improved. But you get what I'm saying. It's like the fact that you are wealthy was also based on someone else's work for you. And he says, now the wages that you failed to pay the workers or the harvesters have reached the ears of God. God's not happy that you've kept all the wealth to yourself, but you're not sharing it with your employees. So he says, don't steal it from your employees. Third thing here is don't waste it. Here's another misuse of money. Don't waste it. And he goes on in verse 5 and he says this, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence, and you have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. And that day of slaughter is the day of judgment. So you've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You've fattened yourself while your employees are starving. They're not living in any kind of luxury compared to you. They're living lean while you're living in such riches that you've fattened yourself. And then number four is with wealth, an improper use of wealth is this, don't abuse it. Don't abuse it. And James says this in James chapter 5 and verse 6, you have condemned and murdered or ruined the innocent one who was not opposing you. That worker in the field or the person working for you was not opposing you. He wasn't your problem. He's working for you, but you've condemned him. And they use the word, which is a strong kind of word, you know, murdered, but you've ruined the innocent one. In other words, he should have had opportunity just like you had opportunity, but you took that opportunity away from him. So these are all misuses of power. In other words, he was saying to the rich employers, he was saying, you were heaping wealth for yourself. You were heaping wealth upon yourself when you should have been helping others. So you were heaping to yourself wealth when you should have been helping others. Anyway, so James comes out really strong and really direct and even very harsh against the misuse of wealth. Well, let's talk here from the Word of God right now about the right uses of wealth. If there's a wrong use of wealth, there's got to be a right use of wealth. So let's see what the Bible has to say about that. First of all, when we're talking about wealth, the Bible tells us to earn it honestly. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says this, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. There's a little hint here that means if you gather money little by little, in other words, save it little by little, you'll help it to grow. But if it's dishonest money, it just dwindles away. Here, let me just say this. The little things that you do for a long time really add up. Just let me say it again. The little things that you do for a long time really add up. So be good with your money when you're still young. And some of you that are watching right now, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 40-somethings, oh my goodness, for the next 10, 20, 30 years, start handling your money in the right way, in all the little ways for a long time, and watch how blessed you're going to be when you get to the point that your primary earning time is over. So, and then Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says this, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Man, I've seen a lot of people that talk a good talk, but man, they're not out there working. But the Word of God says this, all hard work, hard labor brings a profit. So the first thing is earn your money honestly. Secondly, save it faithfully. Save it faithfully. Wise people live in wealth and luxury, but stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. You know what? We've been on both sides of that equation as we've grown up. You know how it was when I used to have a paper route, and then I'd stop by the candy store, and I think I would spend my profit before I even got it. And we learned along the way that, you know, money can just take wings and just fly away. But here's what you want to do. The Bible says if you're stupid, stupid people will spend their money as fast as they get it. Instead, wise people, be wise with your money, and you'll be able to live in wealth and in luxury if you're wise with your money. Now, how do you save, all right? First of all, learn to live on a margin. In other words, spend less than you make. If your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will become your downfall, okay? Figure that one out again. In other words, sometimes you can have too much month left at the end of the money. Have you ever been there? You ran out of money before the end of the month. And we live in a nation right now where we live paycheck to paycheck. I mean, it's just one thing I learned when we ran into the pandemic is how thin the margins are out there. And this really shouldn't be, everyone. In other words, we saw the whole United States needing assistance within about 2 to 3 weeks. Everyone was needing assistance that didn't have income, an income stream coming in. And honestly, that's why we need to save so that we build something up. I'll talk about this in just a few moments, a little bit later, but little by little you save and then you'll have something stored up and you're not just living week to week and paycheck to paycheck. The other thing is this is, so learn to live on a margin, but then learn to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what, everyone? You'll never be able to keep up with the Joneses, because the Joneses are also trying to keep up with the Joneses as well, or the Andersons, or whoever they are. They're trying to keep up. Honestly, everyone, one man's ceiling is another man's floor. The minute you get a new car, somebody's going to get something better than you. The minute you get a new computer, somebody's going to get a faster one. Always learn to live with contentment. Thank you, Lord God. Learn to be content in whatever state you're in and not always just needing the next big thing, you know? So learn to be content. You can be, you can learn to save. Now, why should we save? That's a question here this morning. First of all, saving prevents wasting money on foolish impulses or impulse buying. I love it when I can walk through a mall and not buy anything. You know, it's just got 100 things, and man, if I make it through the mall and go like, I didn't spend anything, I feel pretty good about that, because it prevents wasting money on foolish impulses. Have you ever done an impulse buy and you go like, man, I didn't really need that. What did I buy that for? And, you know, now I don't even have any money. I just paid it out. And, you know, also, here's the second reason to save is it provides for an emergency fund. And let me say, an emergency fund is really an important thing. Dave Ramsey has talked about it for years. You've heard of Dave Ramsey on radio. I would highly recommend him and his teachings, and he's about number one in finances right now. But have an emergency fund. An emergency fund should be anywhere from 3 months to 6 months. But start out with just 1 month to 2 months to 3 months, and then build to 6 months. I've met some people in our church. Man, they were just good with their wealth. I met, I'm thinking of one family right now that they were between work for several months, but they had saved prior to that time, and they were able to make their house payment and their household expenses for a period of months because they had saved money little by little, and they had an emergency fund. Do you realize that most people don't even have an emergency fund that would cover $1,000? In other words, if a hot water heater went out, they don't have the funds available just to get that fixed. It's just not in the bank at all. So save little by little and have an emergency fund. And then why save? Here's a third reason. It lets your money work for you. It lets your money work for you. And by the way, there's a notes that we have on everything that I'm sharing today. I think for about every 3 minutes, you're going to get something good about money, all right? Something you'll be able to take home about money through the rest of this message, all right? So all the way through to the end, you're going to get something that's going to add value to it. But today, there's a set of notes that you can get online. It'll have everything that I'm talking about here. But so when you save, it lets your money work for you. So you should always have some money. When the money's drawing interest, now your money is working for you. Now, the third thing that you can do with your money is to manage it wisely, to manage it wisely. And we call this stewardship, all right? Say with me right now, stewardship. In other words, we're a steward over what God has blessed us with. God has blessed us all in with a certain amount of income, and he's saying, man, if you're a good steward with what I've given you, I'll even bless you in a greater way. So Proverbs 21:5 says this, good planning and hard work or diligence leads to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Get-rich schemes lead to poverty. You've seen it over and over again. But good planning and hard work, just being diligent for the long run, leads to prosperity, all right? And the fourth thing that we can do with our money is to give it generously. Once you've saved and stored up, to give it generously to God and also to help others. In fact, Proverbs 11:24-25, you've heard me talk about this before, says, one person gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly and it tends towards poverty. Get that. You know, some people are free givers to God and to others, and they have more coming in. God blesses them in a greater way. But then there's others that are stingy and hold on to everything they have. And the Bible says it tends towards poverty. And then Proverbs goes on to say this, A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. Man, I've seen this happen over and over. When you refresh others, God will come alongside of you and refresh you again. So we talked about James, the misuse of money, the attitudes, the wrong attitude towards money, but then also having a right attitude towards money. We learned from Proverbs today, all right? But before we close out today, I want to just share with you today seven healthy money habits, all right? Can we do that before we wrap it up today? Just let me give you seven healthy money habits that I think will be very helpful you today, helpful for you today. And by the way, I want to just endorse again David Ramsey and his daughter Rachel Cruz. David Ramsey, or Dave Ramsey, when he talks about money, he has the best books and the best helps and also the best apps that you can use as well to get you headed in the right direction, all right? So number one, healthy money habits, all right? Quit the comparisons. And we talked about this already by saying, you know, don't try to keep up with the Joneses because the Joneses have a mortgage and can't, you know, are having a tough time paying their bills too. You just think they're rich. They just look rich, but they're scrambling too. So quit the comparisons. In fact, Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 says this, each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to others. In other words, if you just compare yourselves to others, that's all you spend. You're just going to be miserable. Carry your own load. Stay in your own lane in life. God has created you to be the unique person that you are. Don't try to be someone else. Be the best person you can be that God has created you to be. So just run in your own lane, but don't compare yourself to others. If you compare yourself to others, let me tell you what you're going to find. Somebody's always going to have a better car. Somebody's going to have a better job. Somebody's going to have a better house. Somebody's going to have a better vacation. But do you know what? There's a lot of people looking at you, you know, chasing the same thing. They're going like, man, I just wish I could have what this person has and that person. I'm talking about you. They're looking at your life and thinking that you're so blessed, they'd like to keep up with you. Meanwhile, you're looking at somebody else's life trying to keep up with them. Hey, everybody, stop the comparison, all right? Quit the comparison and work with your own hands without comparing yourself to somebody else. The only person you should try to be better than is the person you were yesterday, okay? If you want to improve anything or anybody, improve yourself. So the only person you should try to be better than is the person that you were yesterday. And also, Theodore Roosevelt, President Theodore Roosevelt said this, comparison is the thief of joy. If all you do is compare yourself to others, you're not going to have the joy that the Lord wants you to have, all right? So quit the comparisons. That's number one. Secondly, steer clear of debt. Just aim at being debt-free, all right? And you can get there. Let me just tell you, you can get there. What is debt? Debt is owing anything to anyone for any reason. That's debt. And God wants you to be able to be free of debt. Do you know that the average American's credit card debt is at $6,000 right now? That's the average. That means, and that's not even including school loans or anything else or mortgages, just credit card debt. The average American's credit card debt is at $6,000 and some are way higher than that. The average credit card interest rate when they get you to where they want you to be is like 21.5%. Oh my goodness. You know, you start out at 0%. You say, well, Pastor Barry, I've got a 0% card. But guess what? The credit card companies are hoping that you'll miss a payment on that so they can ratchet you up where you're paying interest and the interest goes up even higher than 21%. At that rate, you'll be paying off that credit card for so long. Sometimes if you're making the minimum payment, you won't even get out of debt for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. So steer clear of debt. Remember this, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. As long as you owe somebody, you're a slave to them. And you can feel it right now. You know the debts that you owe and you feel like, man, you feel that pressure. And it's like there's a yoke on you and you are a slave to the lender. The lender is doing fine, but you aren't. And so the remedy for that is to get clear out of debt. And really, God's goal for us is to owe no man anything except the debt of love. Owe no man anything except the debt of love. Hallelujah. So, number one, quit the comparisons. Number two, steer clear of debt. We've got just 7 points here. Number three, make a plan for your money. Now, what is a plan for your money? A plan for your money is a budget. So a budget is just really pointing your money in the right direction. It's having a plan for your money. Every month, I write out a plan for my money and point it in the direction that I want it to go. If you ask me to see my iPhone, I could show you a budget that I write out every month and exactly where I'm pointing my money to and how I want it to go out. If you don't manage your money, your money will manage you. I know what my balance is in my checkbook. I know what my balance is in my reserves. In other words, you have to stay on top of it. Know the state of your flocks and know, you know, where your money is and where it's headed. One of the best apps that's out there right now is called Every Dollar. Just remember that, Every Dollar, and it's through David Ramsey again, the Dave Ramsey Organization. But Every Dollar budget app is one of the best ones, and it's free. And you can, again, point your money in the right direction. So make a plan for your money, and that plan is called a budget. Number four is to talk about money even when it's hard. The Bible says this, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So in other words, an open and honest communication about money is the starting point to be debt free. You've just got to sit down with your spouse, put all of the everything on the table before he says, here's where we're at financially, but here's where we want to be. We want to be at the zero. One day we're going to be debt-free. We're going to own a house without a coupon book. We're going to own cars without a coupon book. We're going to have nothing on our credit card. We're going to have money in the bank and a reserve fund, and we're going to have that. If you decide that's the direction you want to go, you're going to get there. And you got to look the money problem in the eye, just like you'd look a monster in the eye. And you say, man, I'm just going to look you in the eye right now, and you'll be surprised how quickly, if you have that attitude, in other words, if you're able to talk about money, read about money, understand money, you'll be able to get out of debt even sooner than you thought you ever could. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number five, save like you mean it. Save like you mean it. You can't get away from saving. You must save. If you have an income, you'll have an income, you'll have outgo, but part of your outgo needs to be your own income. I'm talking about a savings account. So storing up. In fact, the Bible says this in Proverbs, and I love this scripture, all right? It's about an ant, all right? An ant's life. And the Bible says this, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in the harvest. So in other words, an ant, that little ant has enough smarts to store provisions during the summer and then gather food at the harvest. Here's, you know, let me just give you a little thing. Let's just say that summer is 3 months long. So let me just encourage you to start, you know, storing up for 3 months, having a three-month emergency account so that when winter comes, winter is another 3 months, that you would have enough to get through winter. Even if you had no income at all, you could just go to what you've stored up during summer. That's what savings is about, and have an emergency account. So, and while your money is, you know, away and in a bank and collecting interest, or in a fund where you're collecting interest, while you're sleeping, your money is working for you. So instead of you only working for your money, let your money work for you. Okay, everybody, if it seems like I understand this more than just sharing a message with you today, let me tell you what, I have lived this. For over 30 years, I've lived this. I'm not just talking about something I'm just like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, and I saw that in a book. But no, I've lived it, and I've practiced it, so I'm kind of passionate about it right now. You can get to the place where you are debt-free, where you don't have a credit card balance and all of that, if you'll just take small steps right now and continue on those small steps just for the next coming years. And I'll tell you what, you'll flip your finances in the right. Instead of you being upside down, you'll be right side up, and you'll stay right side up, all right? One of the best plans right now that has been, you know, used for years and years and years, way before Dave Ramsey and all that, is the 10-10-80 plan, 10-10-80. In other words, give 10% to the Lord. We call that our tithe. Save 10%, put 10% in savings, and then live on 80%. Now, that's changing a little bit. Here's what the money experts recommend, is that you save 10%, and then that you, pardon me, that you give 10% to the Lord, and then you save 20%, put that in savings for yourself, and then you live on 70%. Try to get there. 10% to the Lord, 20% to your own savings account. That's for your future. And then live on 70%. That's the new kind of math that's out there right now. That, in addition to anything that you have in your whatever, your provision from work or matching funds or anything like that, that's separate from that. And so save like you mean it and watch it grow in your favor over a period of many years, all right? Number six, think before you spend, all right? Think before you spend. In other words, think about it, before, especially before making any major purchase. The Bible says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost so that he'll be able to finish it? So before you make a purchase, make sure that you think about it. Do I really need it? How long am I going to have to pay for it? You know, right now, they're financing automobiles for 72 months. That's a long, long time. When I was younger, 36 months was the max, you know, but we've gone from 36 now all the way up to 72 months, and some are even going past 72, I think, to the low 80s in months. That's just a long time to be tied down to a payment. So think about what you're going to purchase. In fact, the more you think before you spend, the less you'll have to hear yourself say, what was I thinking? All right? Let me say that again. If you'll just think more before you spend, you won't have to just hear yourself say, what in the world was I thinking? So God will help you. And it's not being cheap. It's about being thrifty and about being thoughtful before you just spend your money away, and especially on the major purchases, all right? Number seven, and this is our last one here, is become a lifestyle giver. Have a giving attitude. And we started out that way in the book of James. Remember, in the book of James, we were talking about the abuses of wealth, but also having a right attitude about wealth, all right? So our attitude and our actions really come out. So become a lifestyle giver to God and to others. And so, in other words, it's a lifestyle where you practice giving to God and giving to others on a regular basis. And when you do, just watch and wait. You're going to see that God will abundantly bless you right back, all right? In fact, the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You'll just find just a great reward in giving to God and also giving to others. And then when you give to God, God has a way of giving back to you in an even greater way so that you can be generous on every occasion. In fact, the Bible says this, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. God says, I'm going to pour a blessing back into your lap. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured right back to you. So remember this, when you refresh others, your own life will be refreshed. The Bible says a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others themselves will be refreshed. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I just pray that everything that we shared with you today, that something will have popped out of you that'll be helped you. God is for you. He's going to help you with your finances. Finances can be one of the greatest burdens or the greatest blessing in your life. God wants it to be a blessing in your life, but not a burden. And God will help you. There's so much wisdom in the Bible that has to do with their finances. He'll help you head in the right direction. Hallelujah. So today we talked about our attitude towards finances and well, as well as our actions with our finances. God wants us to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and a blessing to others as well. So right now, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you'll receive the word, that you'll meditate on the word, that you'll rethink what we talked about today, and that God is going to head you in the right direction, that you can be wise with your wealth. Amen. Let's pray. And I want to pray for you especially today that are going through financial hardship, or you say, Pastor Perry, I've always just been sloppy with my money, or I get sideways with my money, or doesn't go the way that I'd hoped that it would go, that God would give you wisdom to help you to be wise with your wealth. That's how I want to pray for you today, all right? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, for speaking to our hearts through the book of James, also through the book of Proverbs today. But Lord, I just thank you right now that you're the one that blesses us with wealth. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to be wise with our wealth and to be good stewards. So I just pray a special prayer over every person watching today, Lord God, that you will head them in a new direction. And Lord, that they could one day be debt-free and owe no man anything except for the debt of love. So Lord, I just pray that over every person watching right now, Lord God, that you'll speak to their heart, that you'll get a grip of their heart, and God, that you'll head them in a better direction than they've been on right now, especially for those that have been having problems with their finances. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them in a special way with wisdom. Lord, I don't think it's the extra money that we need. That's not the question here. You'll bless us with extra if we'll be wise with what we have. So Lord, I just pray right now that you just let every person, Lord, each one of us, myself included, Lord God, let us be wise with what you blessed us with, and let us be good stewards. And we pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Thanks for listening today. By the way, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, oh my goodness, that's what it's all about, living this life with Jesus in your heart. You're going to be empty without Christ. But the Word of God says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, that you might have it more abundantly." In fact, he said, "The devil's only coming to steal, to kill, and destroy." But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, that you might have it more abundantly." I want to invite you right now to receive Christ so that you might be born again and that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'd like to just ask you to pray with me. Let this prayer be from your heart, not only your head, but your heart. And watch today, on this day, Jesus will come into your heart and he'll change your life. You'll become a brand new creation, a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. So pray this prayer with me right now. And let it be from your heart. Pray this prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. And today, Lord God, I thank you that you've given me wisdom and that you've let me see your word. Lord, I want to do more than just read your word. I want to follow you. And I want to believe on you today. And I ask you to come into my heart and to be my Savior and my Lord. Forgive me for all of my sin and give me a new life today. With my mouth, I now confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, Lord Jesus, I believe on you now, and I receive you as my Savior and my Lord, and I pray in your holy name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've prayed that prayer, I'll tell you what, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Your name has just been registered in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. You've become part of the family of God. That's good news. And you become part of the local church as well. And we just welcome you right now. So, and the Bible says, as you become a brand new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So I want you to tell somebody today that you received Christ as your Savior. Get involved and connected to another Christian. Also become part of a local church. We hope that you'll become a part of Harvest Church, but whatever Christian church you find where you can grow in Christ, that's the most important thing, all right? We love you so much. God bless you. I want to leave you with a blessing today, and I want to bless you with peace. We live in a world right now of turmoil, a world filled with so much anxiety and uncertainty, but God wants you to have his peace, all right? So this is the blessing for you today. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way. The Lord be with you all. And I pray this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I just bless you right now with the Lord's peace. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, you're going to hear about what James has to say about how to develop patience. You know, I heard somebody say, "I want patience, Lord." They're praying for patience. "I want patience and I want it right now." Well, we're going to talk about how patience comes. James gives us a good insight on how to develop patience. We'll talk about that next week. By the way, we've got to wait. We've got to be patient right now, but good things come to those who are patient, those who wait on the Lord, all right? So thanks for joining us today for Harvest Church at Home, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. God's going to help you to win in this area of finances, everyone. We talked about it today. God's going to help you to be wise with your wealth. God bless you and have a great week. And we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday.